Thank you, Hal. What a great prayer and a song to get started with this morning. As Hal said to you, we're going to hear a story from Genesis. And the stories of Genesis are rich and mythic. They are ancient. They were ancient when they were first committed to writing around the 6th century BCE during the crisis of the Hebrew people's exile to Babylon. How do you keep your sacred traditions, your connection to community, to God, when you are separated from your homeland, when you're separated from one another? We're getting a taste of that, aren't we? You begin to write them down. Your three pastors are embarking today on a preaching series from the stories of Genesis for the next 3 or 4 weeks. Today, we jump right into the middle of the oldest patriarch and matriarch stories, those of Abraham and Sarah. Years before our story today begins, in chapter 12 of Genesis, Abraham is called by the one God to go to a land that I will show you, and there I will bless you and make of your descendants a great nation. We will be in covenant with one another. So this couple, Abraham and Sarah, have been journeying with God, leading them for many years with this promise of abundant fertility, many descendants hanging over their heads. And yet the first thing we learn about Sarah in the book of Genesis is that she is barren. She does not seem to be able to have children. Just before our story, in chapter 17 of Genesis, God has given this promise once again to Sarah and Abraham. Well, particularly to Abraham. Now, at this point, they are really old. And when God promises once again that Sarah will have a son, and it will be soon, Abraham, the story says, literally falls on his face laughing. Now, he has a son by a second wife, Hagar. Why, asked Abraham, won't God consider this son, Ishmael? And God says that son will be blessed, but the divine covenant will be with the son of Sarah. And with that final word from God, Abraham goes to complete his part of the covenant that God is requiring, the ritual circumcising of all the men and boys in his household. And then our story begins. The Lord, the Holy One, appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he bowed, when he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to his servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before the visitors. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife, Sarah?" And he said, "There, in the tent." Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind Abraham. And Sarah and Abraham were old, advanced in age. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Holy One said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too wonderful for the Lord?' At the set time, I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied, saying, "I didn't laugh," for she was afraid. And the Holy One said, "Oh, yes, you did laugh." The Lord dealt with Sarah as had been said, and the Lord did for Sarah as had been promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to his son whom Sarah bore. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, "God has brought laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me." And she said, "Who would ever have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God. Many years ago, I gave a friend a card to cheer him up. Well, if truth be told, I gave my friend this card as a bit of a kick in the pants. He was one of those folks who approach life with a furrowed brow and a bit of melancholy, intense, deep feeling. The card said, "Life's too mysterious. Don't take it serious." I don't remember the picture on the card, but with it, I gave him one of those toys that is a figure put together on a string with moving limbs. You hold the string coming out of the top of the head, and you pull the string that comes down between the legs, and the figure's arms and legs move up and down as if it's dancing. This figure was a vegetable man. He was completely clothed in all kinds of vegetables. He was not a serious figure, a laughing one. I wanted my friend to laugh, to know that the deep seriousness of the world was such a deep mystery that in always pondering it with the deep intention of figuring out everything, we sometimes missed the deep joy that was also present in the mystery. Life's too mysterious. Don't take it serious. Can we take this advice in considering the mysterious story we've just heard from the book of Genesis, our book of beginnings? The mysteries of our own lives, of the world we live in now? Is this advice for them? The three visitors in our story are at first a mystery, appearing out of the shimmering desert heat to bring a mysterious message. They remind us of the invocation of the author of the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. This author said to the Hebrews, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it." Was the writer of Hebrews invoking this story from Genesis? Perhaps. The ancient tradition of Middle Eastern culture is, as Hal was saying, always to show extravagant hospitality in the desert. There it can be a matter of life and death. Does Abraham know at first glance that these visitors are messengers from the Almighty? That they are actually the Almighty? We soon learn that their visit is really for the woman behind the tent flap, the wife, Sarah, whom we never really see. We only hear her laugh and her voice. Now, this is Sarah's first personal encounter with the God her husband has been following all these years. Sarah has been the wife along for the ride. In earlier stories in Genesis, she is betrayed not only as barren, but also as beautiful. And we discover she's also pretty canny. More than once, she gets her husband out of a jam, including the times she is willing to be a sexual pawn with a more powerful tribal leader to protect her husband and family and to gain them riches. The beautiful but barren Sarah also takes action after years of God's promise to make of Abraham heirs a great nation. She gives Abraham her maid, Hagar, as a second-tier wife in keeping with the cultural custom of the time. And Hagar gives Abraham a son, an heir. Ishmael is born. But we have heard how God dealt with that. Ishmael is not the son of promise. So now God is dealing directly with Sarah. After all these many, many years of infertility, she laughs in the face of seemingly miraculous news. If she has always lived under the stigma of being barren, infertile, why isn't she laughing for joy? This is miraculous news. But is it wanted news for Sarah? I don't hear joy yet in Sarah's laughter. I hear scoffing. A son? Yeah, right. I hear an incredulous laugh. Oh, now you're coming through with the promised son after I have suffered all these years. I hear a laugh that hides rage and tears. I have come to terms with my barren state. I put that grief behind me. I provided Abraham a son with Hagar. Do I get any respect here? I should risk having a son in my advanced years. I should risk my life and the child's. I should risk disappointment again if the pregnancy fails. Do I have a say in anything? Am I just a pawn in this relationship of my husband to his God, a tool used when convenient? This really is preposterous. Sarah laughs. And I imagine tears of anger and frustration and grief coming down her face. Laughing into the seriousness of mystery, into the face of God, is not a lark. It is a way to deal when life deals us unexpected hands in its game. Currently, the mystery of two pandemics are staring us in the face, COVID-19 and COVID-16-19, as one of our African-American UCC clergy colleagues has named the long pandemic of racism in America. 1619 being the year that African slaves were first brought to the Jamestown colony in what is now Virginia. We are scrambling as a nation to face the mystery of both of these pandemics. They are mysteries that overwhelm our hearts, our minds, and our ability to know what right action to take. And laughter is probably not the first thing that may come to us as we look their crises simultaneously in the face. Unless we laugh with Sarah in incredulous, scoffing grief and angry frustration. Like Sarah, we cannot change what is happening. It feels so tragically surreal. We do not know, understand why we are suddenly and mysteriously facing these two crises in our world. Both are born of deep pain and the loss of sacred lives. They are serious. With a pregnancy in old age foretold by a personal announcement from this mysterious God, Sarah is given much to think about. It seems to me she chose to listen to herself, to this God, as the new life stirred within her amidst all the fears and physical discomfort of pregnancy, and those can be great. Would the baby really be born alive and well? Friends, it takes faith to be pregnant. Like Sarah, we are invited to listen. To listen through the pregnant pain of these two pandemics, to the hurt of those who are still dying from COVID-19, the hurt of their families, the hurt of those out of work, the hurt of those whose businesses are closing. We listen to the hurt caused by the disproportionate number of our brothers and sisters of color who have died in this pandemic. We listen to the ache in our bones for the pandemic of deaths caused by racial violence that is also staring us in the face. This pandemic, this racial violence pandemic, has been a much longer season of pandemic, centuries, and we have tried to ignore it or smooth over it without going to the root causes of greed and abuse of power. It's time to defeat this racial pandemic, to heal its deep wounds, and there are actions to be taken. But first, we listen. We listen to the centuries, the history of the centuries of our brothers and sisters' pain. We listen to them here and now to follow their lead in the birth of a new life of racial equality and economic balance that will bring justice for all. Just as a woman listens to her pregnant body's promptings in labor and delivery, to the promptings of the new life within her, we listen and we pray without ceasing as we listen. Let me tell you, every pregnant woman knows the depth of deeply longing, yearning prayer for the new life within. We must pray with that longing. And we must trust in faith the Holy One's words to Sarah. And perhaps these are the words that set her listening. The Holy One said, "Is anything too wonderful for God? Is anything too wonderful for God?" This is the serious mystery we are invited to co-create with, to laugh into, to wrestle and rejoice with. Life is too mysterious not to take serious its pain and its joy, and to remember what might be possible. Life is too mysterious not to listen before we jump to fix the pain. Sarah did not laugh with great joy till 9 months later when she held the newborn Isaac, in her arms. And his name means "he who laughs." It is then she gives thanks and rejoices. "Who knew I would nurse a child in my old age? Is anything too wonderful for God?" May we listen in the struggle of this mysterious pandemic time. May we find the moments of joy in the pain. May we glimpse them. May we take God's promise seriously in the mystery of faith. Amen.